Okay, thank you, John R. Good afternoon, everyone. If anybody has anything particular, feel free to raise your hand. I've been working on something for quite a few days now, particularly the last 24 to 48 hours, on a study concerning authority, and to try to appreciate what spiritual authority might be. You know, we've been having some problems in this room, as many I'm sure know. There are some people who are beginning to look at admonship as a spiritual authority, and I don't think there's anything further from the truth, and I think we're going to see that as we look into the scriptures. So that's probably the best thing to do, is just look into the Bible. If there's someone out there that might want to post the verses that we're going to bring up here, that might be advantageous. And also, when this study is completed, we will be putting this study up online. I'll try to get this up there today. I know it has caused a division in the room, and you know, we've had divisions in the past. Sometimes people see things in a different way and feel that they need to go somewhere else, and that's okay. There have been times, of course, when people feel that they need to do something else because they're called to the Lord to put their time somewhere else, and that's great too, you know. So the purpose of this room is to lift up the person of Jesus Christ, and not to lift up any individual or anything other than the Bible and the Bible alone. And that is the purpose of the admin, is to maintain the focus of this room on the Bible. And again, we're going to look at that and see once what this might all, you know, what it is that we do. There are some, unfortunately, that seem to think that there is a personality in this room. They seem to think maybe that one individual seems to control things, and I can assure you that, there could be nothing further from the truth than that either. That no one person makes a decision here. Not that we have too many decisions to make. We really don't. Each teacher in this room is on their own Bible studies, and nobody is asked to focus in on this or that. Everybody teaches or goes forward as they feel driven by the Lord to do so. So there is nobody maintaining that kind of a control or anything of that nature. There also is no one maintaining any kind of a control in any way, how we operate with red dots or how we might do this or how we might do that. We get together and talk about these things, and we do the best we can to do the best we can. We don't do it perfect. But with that, I'd like to engage the conversation, which seems to be the reason that people are having some problems with, is spiritual authority, and to see once what the Lord has to say. Again, there is a lot of chatting going on in the background, and I'm sorry to say that, and I think it should be, it's much better served if it's brought up front. If anybody thinks anything is wrong with this room, we should clear the air immediately. We should immediately just come, you know, Lord's Day may not be the right day for that kind of thing, but, you know, during the week at any time, and even on the Lord's Day in conversations, there's nothing wrong with a question, as I heard this, or I was wondering about that, or how do you do this, and who makes this decision, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, we endeavor to be honest, straightforward, and put it right out there. All things will be revealed. In Mark chapter 4, we read in verse 21, "And he, the Lord, said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? And not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither has anything kept secret, but that should all come abroad." So we know that whatever we do, the Lord knows, and we also know that whatever we do, we have nothing to hide, so we want to put everything right out front. We did try to do some decisions on how to run the room in different ways openly, and that seemed to create some problems. A lot of people were upset because we were taken away from time when we could do Bible studies or broadcast Bible studies or just simulcast family radio. And so we appreciated that. We did start to do some things, you know, what people saw. We were going into a room privately to talk about some things, and some people got upset about that. So we want to try to do everything up and up and as open as possible. And we do put the meetings up on the room of what we have. The private meetings are up on BibleOnly.net. Whatever the last meeting might be would be found up there. And that's what we do every whenever we have a meeting. And hopefully we're not going to have a meeting too often. with the exception of a meeting if we're choosing another admin. But everything, nothing is going to be kept secret. The Lord will reveal all things. So the big problem seems to be that some perceive that the administrators of the Bible Only Room are ruling as a corporate church might rule, a pastor, an elder, and therefore the hearers in this room must ask themselves certain questions. And I would encourage anyone who really has a conscious problem about being here that they should depart. They should go out back and leave and talk to the Lord and see once what they think the Lord should tell them to do. But we would appreciate if people could bring that correction to us if they see that we are violating scriptures in any way, if we're not being obedient to the Word of God, if we are doing things in an ungodly way, if we're doing things that just are not godly. We do want to know about this, and we do want to be corrected. Since we speak openly, we should be corrected openly. And so it shouldn't be done in private for us, I don't think. But I think some of the questions people need to ask, in my mind, are fundamental questions. Am I following men or am I following God? That's the question. And I know in the end of every Bible study in this room, I know I put it in, and I hear all the other teachers do the same thing. They always put the question out there if anybody has any corrections or comments on this study. By all means, let the Bereans come forward. The next question people might want to ask themselves, do those people who do have a rule in the room, in the sense of a red dotting ability, which really is just controlling the garbage that might come into the room from time to time, unfortunately, from the world, do the administrators of this room require that anyone believe anything? And the answer to that is absolutely no. Even people, even sometimes as teachers disagree with each other, and those are good starting points to really dive into the scriptures to work out the truth out of that and find correction. And so we don't require anyone to believe anything. There are people who visit the room that believe that Jesus is not God, and we don't require those people to believe anything in order to stay. There is no membership here, and so those people have the opportunity to stay and listen in, and we'll hear them out to some degree. We've heard it quite a bit, so we don't want to give platform of a false gospel. But I think it's right that we should hear a little bit of what they have to say, and definitely want to hear the verses that they use in order to believe what they believe, and then we will try to share with them what is truth and what the Bible says, the rest of the Bible. And when at some point when it might become a debate maybe become a little too hot, sometimes people get upset with these things, then we'll just move the room along and change the next subject. Maybe we can find another subject that we can agree upon and build on that. And as we look into scriptures together and see things, as we see how each other looks and understands scriptures, maybe God will lead us into correction there. So that's always my prayer and hope, and I should hope it's the same with all of us, that we would find harmony in the scriptures, and even to those who visit the room. Now, of course, from time to time, people will come in with their heresies, and they will require that we believe that, and we should talk about it. Again, we'll take it to a certain point, and then we'll have to go on, because that's not the purpose of the room. The purpose of the room is fellowship, and the fellowship that we have is with Christ through other believers. When two or three come together there, he is in the midst. It should be Christ within us, line upon line, precept upon precept, his words, not our words. The other question that people want to ask themselves is, does the people who come to the Bible Only Room, do they have a membership or something? And of course, no, there is no membership. There's no requirement. There's nothing. And again, with the exception of banning for the obvious inappropriate actions, people come in here, curse or say terrible things sometimes, and we will ban them for that. That's an appropriate ban. There's nothing to, I think that's a hands-down agreement. With that in mind, what else? With the inappropriate actions, do the administrators of this room cast people out for disagreeing? And the answer again is no. Again, a person might be argumentative and want to have it their way and want to bring up certain points and they just don't want to just move along. We'll red dot them. There are occasion maybe when some of the admin might kick that individual out of the room. I probably disagree with that most of the time, but we got to understand, you know, it's hard to figure out when to red dot someone and when not to. We've been talking about that for a long time, trying to figure out when should we red dot, when should we not red dot, when should we ban. I mean, banning is quite obvious, I think. Banning is inappropriate situations that everyone would agree upon. So let me just start. I've got a lot of scripture to share on this. I want to look at rule. I want to look at pastors. I want to look at the elders. I want to look at what the Bible has to say, and to make sure that we are doing it God's way, that we're not doing it our way, but we're doing it God's way. And we're not doing it any one individual's way. There is no one individual in this room that makes the final statement on anything. And you can ask anybody who is an admin of this room, and I am absolutely sure they will tell you there is no one individual. And we like to look at this as being God's ministry. I look at this as a ministry. Many of the teachers of this room look at this as the ministry. And this is God's ministry. If it's a ministry, it belongs to God. It does not belong to any one individual. There is no personality here. But let me share with you some of the inner things of what we've talked about and what we have. We do have some red dot rules, and I'd like to share what those red dot rules are. And I also would like to tell everyone that we're talking about these red dots because as easy as one might think it is to red dot, it's not that easy. And that's why, you know, when one admin red dots differently than I red dot, I don't get, you know, I'm not going to go say, hey, you did something wrong, because maybe I'm thinking wrong, you know. If some things are pretty obvious, I might go and talk to the person and say, hey, why'd you do that? And let me and just talk about it, you know. But again, we have to pray for wisdom here. Let me read some things that we have. This is our rules. We have... This is the only set of rules we have, by the way, with the exception of procedure. And procedure, if anyone wants to hear that, is boring. You know, when we do get together to talk, you got 5 minutes on the mic, 3 minute response. Yeah, that, if anybody wants to hear that kind of stuff. And we did that because sometimes our meetings go too long and we just have to shorten them up. But other than those kind of procedural rules on how we run a meeting, here's some of the stuff we have presently, which... Again, we're praying on and we're hoping to get better at this. We red dot a person on the mic for some reason. We let them know right away why they have been red dotted, and we give them back their mic as soon as possible and allow them to break the line and pick up the mic again. If after three warnings they continue without accepting correction, and sometimes we might know the person, so we may not give them three times, but again, that's up to the admin that's in charge at the moment. We let them know that we're moving along, and if they refuse to comply, then we leave the red dot on for a while. If they repent, we are quick to forgive. And here are the reasons for red dotting. Teaching a false doctrine. And the false doctrines we're talking about are obvious false doctrines. Foundational. We all need to pray for wisdom to know the difference of one who is declaring a false doctrine and one who has been deceived and may be open for correction. We need to give people the time to make a case, you know. So we do allow people a little bit of time on the mic, even though they may be bringing in something that is not true. Get a feeling from where they're coming from and what it is that they understand and whatever verses they're looking at. We do want to give them that time, and then we want to respond to them in a humble way with God's Word, the Bible. We red dot for taking too long without bringing up scripture to support their conclusions. And of course, we give them their mics right back again. We just red dotting them to correct them. You're taking too long, you're not giving us any meat. We want the Bible. For bringing up too many topics at one time, sometimes people get on, and I know I'm guilty of this too, and they bring up too many topics, and we might red dot and say, wait a second, oh, well, let's talk about this point here, and then we'll go on to some others, and we give them their mic again anyway. We red dot for anyone who is attacking others in the text. And that's our rules. That's it. And we have no other rules. We do have what I have listed as administrator's expected disposition. And this is something that I put together quite some time ago, and I put it up on it, and this is on a private page. And I put this up for the purpose of when we started to get some admins, that we all have the same mind. And that mind that we need to have is the mind of Christ, Genesis to Revelation. So what I did is I went and I took particularly the Sermon on the Mount, because I found that the Sermon on the Mount was so full of the meat of the way a believer should be, particularly when we look at the Beatitudes in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And I listed out a list, and I've asked all the admin to go up there and meditate on this, to think about this. And I should make mention to these people that this is coming from the Sermon on the Mount, and we will do that. But in any event, some people might have misunderstood this as rules. It is not rules. It's the way any Christian should be. And I'm going to read the list as we have it. We must first of all remember and realize our purpose is to declare God's word in mourning and in prayer, and in the hope to establish a saving faith in the lost and or to edify the body. That's our purpose. We're hoping to get a message to the lost that they may receive it as they come into this room, or to edify the body as they come into this room to hear God's word, the Bible. And here's the list of things. We need to remember that God's word will not return unto him void. We need to be merciful. We need to be peacemakers. We need to be humble. We need to be patient. We need to remember that we are blessed when we are persecuted, reviled, and all manner of evil is set against us falsely for Christ's sake. We need to be compassionate. We need to return good for evil. We must never get angry. We must never debate. We must let the Holy Spirit guide us on a topic. We should not become fixed on any particular message save salvation itself. We must need to be ready to stand corrected. We must need to pray for wisdom to know when a discussion has turned into a debate. We must need to pray for wisdom or when we should declare final word and move the discussion, you know, the open forum or conversation, or long. And that's it. That's our rules. And none of this would bring us to a point of bringing any spiritual authority over anyone. We're saying if you're going to be an admin in this room, you got to be a Christian. And you got to reflect that. You got to be humble. You got to be a peacemaker. You got to be patient. You got to be merciful. Because that's what God expects of us. That's what we're reflecting. We're supposed to be reflecting the light of the gospel. And the hard part is figuring out when to red dot people. That's the hard part. And we're open for suggestions. And we tried to minimize the red dotting. And I think our list shows it. And I think they're a pretty reasonable list. And I don't know that anyone should disagree with that. Now, if the Bible only room appears to be a church, keep this one thing in mind, that if we are the children of God, we indeed are part of the eternal church of God, and we should appear to be so. Remember, it is the corporate body that is the imposter, not the body of Christ. And so when we broadcast a ministry like E-Bible Fellowship here on the Lord's Day, and they kind of have the go-along as if they're a church, people would come in here, and they would relate it to us and say, hey, this is a church I walked into. Well, it is the true church of God, I believe. I believe many of us are representative of the kingdom of God. And we ought to get together to sing songs and psalms and spiritual songs. We ought to edify each other. We ought to make plans. You know, I hear an idea or a plan of some things going on. You know, we're going to have a Bible. We're going to have a track ministry going out this afternoon. Anybody who is interested in that, see me after this and that and the other thing. And all the announcements that they might do in a church, well, we make announcements too. E-Bible does anyway. We don't necessarily do that in the Bible only room, but E-Bible does that, and we do simulcast them. So this is the way life is, and they're going to get up and sing psalms. Should we not sing songs and spiritual songs and psalms because the corporate church does, and we may look like a corporate church? Is that what we're to do? And I say no. The corporate church is the imposter, not the body of Christ. We are to be obedient to what God commands us to do, to come together in these things, and to edify the body, to preach the word in season and out of season. So, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted? Have I preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taken wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For what which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supply it. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me from the boasting in the regions of Archaea. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desireth occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a messenger of light, an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministries also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. And we know that the church has come to this point, where they have been, the ministers of Satan have been transformed into the ministers of righteousness. They appear to be somewhat, and they are not. And so therefore they come forth with a false gospel, and they continue in the way that we were taught as the body of Christ throughout the past 2,000 years to go forth in a church, the proper order that we are to be obedient to, and the things we're supposed to do. So all I have to say is concerning these things, you know, if we have a misunderstanding or a disagreement on you know, how it is that this room goes forward, if anybody sees anything that appears to be the appearance of evil, if anybody sees anything that appears not to be right, that is not biblical, that is ungodly, by all means we want to know about it, and we want to correct it, because we want to be faithful to God, not to men, but to God. And please let us not be like the people of Corinth, where we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3, for ye are carnal, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, or I'm of another, or I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? So we don't want to be like the people in Corinthia, the Corinth, like the Corinthians. We have them for an example on how we should not be. You know, Proverbs chapter 6, we read verse 16, that there are six things doeth the Lord hate, yet seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandments is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flatteries of the tongue of the strange woman. And this is the way we need to be. We need to be doing it God's way. We don't want to bring in strife and mischief. We don't want to sow discord among brethren. We do want to find correction quick. And I want to tell you, if anybody that is in this room that is participating in trying to assist this room keep an orderly as an administrator, You know, we do expect that they have a certain way that they deal with people, and we want them to be humble, and we never want an admin to get angry on the mic, ever. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So we're to be bringing the gospel. We're to be perfectly joined together. We're to speak the same thing. And we do this as we study our Bibles. And we also want to do this as we, you know, administrate anything that is required to maintain order in this room. We want to do it in a godly way, and we want to do it in a way that is uniform in the same mind. And we'll do the best we can on that, but we're individuals, and we all have to pray for wisdom. And it is a difficult task. I want to tell you, it's hard to figure out sometimes. We need to pray that the Lord puts forgiveness into all our hearts when we have divisions and different ideas, and you know, we misunderstand things, we misinterpret things, we get angry without cause, or even if we get angry with cause, we have to ask the Lord to forgive us. You know, we read, for instance, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, "Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how often shall thy brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, but until seven times 70. We are to forgive our brothers seven times 70. In other words, every time he asks, we forgive. Even when he doesn't ask, we forgive, we pray, we hope, we desire the good things for that individual. We need to pray that the Lord keep our tongue. In James chapter 3, verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be." So we want to pray that the Lord keep our tongue, and we want to lift each other up, not bring each other down, and we want to find our differences and figure it out God's way, not our way, but God's way. Rather, we should be kindly affectionate, Romans 12:10, affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read in verse 9, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." That's the first. What's the first commandment of God? Love God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And what's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, for the love of God. And upon this are all the commandments built. So we need to try to understand each other, especially when we have differences. We want to immediately get together and work out those differences and talk to the Lord about those differences, and pray that we can find the mind of Christ in this thing and not our own mind. So what makes a difference between us and a church? And I tell you, this subject is not all that easy, too. You know, I know the idea that spiritual authority has been thrown out there, and that we're not to be under spiritual authority. And I want to tell you something. I'm not finding that so easy to define. We are under spiritual authority. We're under the authority of the Bible. That is spiritual authority. We're under the authority of Christ. And that's spiritual authority. And whenever anyone says, "Thus saith the Lord," when we hear the gospel being preached and taught, and if it's the true gospel, line upon line, precept upon precept, then God is speaking through that individual, and you become under that authority, but not to the individual, but to the voice, to the words behind that person, which is God himself, the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. We read in Revelations chapter 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So out of the mouth of God goeth a two-edged sword. That is the Word of God. You know, it cuts both ways. It heals and it condemns. And that's what's to come out of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and Christ himself is the head. And when the body of Christ speaks, it is the head of Christ that is leading us, and it is out of the mouth of God that is being declared, Thus saith the Lord. And we do want to be very careful to make sure that we do declare that which God tells us, and not what we think it might be. Okay, let me check that. I guess I need to check the console to make sure red dots are off. Let me give, remove all mics, give mics to all. Let's do that. Okay, that should be on now. So everybody should be getting a mic when they come in here. So what is the rule? Christ rules. He rules. He rules them even during this time period of great tribulation with a rod of iron. And the rod of iron is the Word of God. Iron identifies with the law, and the rod identifies with the Word of God, that which he rules with. And so he puts into our hearts and into our mouth those things that we should be speaking. And he judges people. We don't judge people. His Word judges people. You know, when we speak and look at the Word of God, some people hear verses going by and they're saying, Amen, Amen. Other people get angry and upset and they curse God. Because they're not happy, or they curse the individual that's speaking these words. They're seeing it from a different perspective, because you know they're not happy with what they're hearing. And some people hear it and they start to beat their chest and cry out for mercy to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, when we look at bishops, I didn't see too much in the Bible about bishops. And I'll tell you what, Christ is our bishop. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Christ is our bishop. You know, when we were in the churches, it was expected that the people who were preaching the gospel, the people who were ruling, the pastors, the teachers, the preachers, the elders, the bishops, it was expected that they were from the kingdom of God, that they were saved, that they were bringing a true gospel. And if that being the case, we need to be obedient unto what it is they're saying, not to the individual. The body of Christ wants to be obedient to Christ and not to a person. But it may come through the mouth of a person what they hear God is saying. Because that's how God works. He sends he sends pastors, teachers, preachers, apostles, and so on. So we trust in God, and that's the way it was meant to be during the church age. But we were warned. We were forewarned. And I tell you, I did kind of take this warning a little early in my walk with the Lord, and realized that, you know, I had to test out the scribes and the Pharisees to see if they measured up to God's Word, the Bible, and I found it over and over and over and over and over again that they did not. And people used to say to me, you know, who am I that seems to be so self-righteous? I wanted to, what the Bible had to say, you know. And but in any event, we've been warned in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we're all ready to know that Satan comes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He comes as an angel of light, and therefore his ministries are also messengers of light. They seem to be the messengers of righteousness. And so there's only one way we could know, is go to the Bible. Do men gather grapes of thistles, or figs of thorns of figs? Or, you know, when someone gives you the Word of God, do you find that you're being pricked by it? That there are things going on that ought not be, things being said that ought not be? You know, you look for the thorns and the thistles amongst the fruit, and you know. You know, God speaks of good fruit, and that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And so we have the Bible. Praise God that we have the Bible. We can check everything in the Bible. Sometimes it's not all that easy, but we can wait on the Lord. He knows we're waiting. He's not leaving us there in vain or for no reason. He's leaving us maybe waiting for a reason. Do you have patience? Are you patiently waiting on the Lord? Be still and know that I am Lord. That is the commandment. Be still and know that I am God. Read the Bible, be still and know that I am God. You don't understand it, that's fine. Be still and know that I am God. Wait for it. It'll come. Talk to the Lord. Ask, you shall receive. We read about elders in the Bible. And it is true that God set up churches with elders, but the elders is supposed to reflect the good shepherd. The elders is supposed to reflect the true elder, the elder of the Bible, Christ himself, who is the Bible, who is the Word. In 2 John chapter 1, here John is speaking, and he is representing Christ himself. He is figurative in this picture of Christ himself. 2 John chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. That's the body of Christ and those that they are nursing. We're nursed by the milk of the Word of God. People who are coming under the hearing, and they're newborns, babes in Christ, just coming to the Lord. That's the picture. The elect lady is a picture of the body of Christ. And we're all weaned from the body of Christ. We all come nursing off the body of Christ, and eventually weaned, drawn from the breast, and we become part of that body. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we ought to love one another. That we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the body of Christ, has come in the flesh. This is that deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we loose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrines of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partners of his evil deeds. So the Bible tells us that those of us who are of the elect lady, those of us who are born again, that we have received the Word of God, the oracles of God. We have the doctrines of Christ. And if you have the doctrines of Christ, then you have God. And when someone comes and says, I have the doctrines of Christ, and you listen to what they have to say, and you can either know or not, because you're supposed to have the doctrines of Christ. And we get that by diligently looking into God's Word, the Bible, and study, and not be a sluggard. But the true elder is Christ Himself. That's the true elder. And when we declare the Word of God, it is greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ within us. It is the Word of God that comes out richly. We hope that the Holy Spirit is leading us. We rest in that, and that Christ is leading us, and the Holy Spirit is leading us as we bring forth His Word line upon line. We're constantly looking for that correction. What is a deacon? Again, you know, a deacon turns out to be, the Greek word brings us diakonos. Diakonos, however you might say that, but this Greek word is interpreted more minister than deacon. It is a minister of God. So when we look at this word deacon or minister, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, do we begin again to command ourselves? Or need we, as others, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in your hearts, in our hearts, known and read of men. For as much as ye are manifested, declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Create in me a new heart, O Lord, renew a right spirit in me, the Word dwelling richly within our hearts. And such trust have we through Christ to God ward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as to ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Christ ministered by us. That's what the Bible tells us. You see, men don't rule, God rules. And even when you were in a church, it shouldn't be under a spiritual rule of men. We don't follow the whims of men, but the Word of God. It has always been. I remember when I finally, and it took many, many years to become a member in a church, I finally became a member in a church where I was able to find some agreement. And one of the things I was doing, they called me and I sat before a group of men, five or six men. I remember sitting with the pastor and he's drilling me all this stuff. I said, look, I don't want to get into this. He's going into catechism. I said, I'm not interested. Let's talk about the Bible. Talk about the Bible. Let's talk about Jesus. And then I'll go talk to these people. And that's what we did. We talked about Jesus. We looked at the Bible. We looked at verses. We looked at this. I didn't look at any catechism or little book that the church had to give me. We looked at Jesus. We looked at the Word of God. And then I went and I sat before these men, and they started to talk to me. And I gave them answers. I gave them Bible verses. I didn't give them catechism. I didn't give them the proper answer, the answer that they expected. I gave them Bible verses. And I was waiting for Bible verses to come back. I was looking to them as much as they were looking at me. And I was, as they were looking to bring me under subjection in their church, I was looking, do I want to be in subjection under these individuals? Am I putting myself in subjection to Christ by putting myself underneath these individuals? And in that particular church, I did think so. And I did become a member. And it fell apart. It was a very early church, and it just never made it anywhere. But in any event, the point is that we place ourselves into subjection in a corporate church, especially during the church age, that is, of course. And once we discover that that church has gone apostate, once we discover that the rule of God is not in the heart of the individual claiming to be the pastor, the servant of God, and what's the first thing we do? We remove ourselves. We have the power to remove ourselves and go on. And that's what we do. And so, you know, it's kind of hard to figure out the spiritual authority. Christ has spiritual authority. The Bible has spiritual authority. God has spiritual authority. And whenever the Bible is being preached, you're coming under spiritual authority. But it's not the authority of the individual. It's not the authority of the man speaking. It's God. It's the words that are coming forth. You know, we look at the word pastor. The word pastor is the word shepherd. In John chapter 10, we read in verse 1, truly I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That is the pastor of the sheep. Christ is our pastor. To him the porter openeth, and the poor and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep, his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Interesting that God's speaking about leading them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And that's what we discover, you know, when a pastor or a preacher or a teacher throughout in the corporate churches, you know, start to say things, and we start to not recognize the voice anymore. We know he's not the good shepherd. And that individual never was the good shepherd. It's the words that were the good shepherd, the words that became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ is our pastor. We never lose that pastor. We never lose that deacon. We never lose that elder. We never lose the bishop of our soul. He's always there, and we'll find him in the preaching and teaching of others that the Lord has sent. You know, the question is, you know, does God come to a point where he stops sending teachers, where he stops sending preachers, where he stops sending pastors and so on? Does he ever come to that point in time? We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he tells us precisely when it stops. For he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. For the purpose, for the perfecting of the saints, the preaching of the word of God, to perfect them. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, how long does he do this? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God is talking about the body of Christ complete, the last person to be saved. That's when he's going to stop sending preachers, teachers, and apostles, because the end of the world will come. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, the body of Christ, the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the body of Christ. That we henceforth, and this is the purpose as it's being done, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the body of Christ edifies itself in love. And that's the agape love, the gospel, the preaching of the word of God. When does this stop? When God finishes building his church, when he finishes building the building that he dwells in, that's when it stops. Until then it continues. And when he finishes the building, the end comes. When the last person becomes saved, it is the end of the world. Judgment day has arrived. We are commanded to assemble ourselves. And this assembling, of course, is the preaching of the gospel, and it is God assembling his church, the living stones. He makes the stones. He makes us to have life. He cuts us out. He prepares us and makes us according to his will, and he places us into the temple at the point of time that he governs and decides to do this. And he does this as he sends forth teachers and preachers, for the purpose of preaching a gospel, to edify the body, to cut the stones by the cutting of the word of God, the sword and the fine cutting of the word of God, the tools that God uses, the word of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18, that now where remissions of these is, talking about sins, remissions of sins, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. and having a high priest over the house of God. And of course that is Christ. The flesh is we are in the flesh, and Christ is within us. Through the veil we find Christ, the preaching of that gospel. And having a high priest over us, Christ himself, over the house of God. Through the veil, that is to say, the flesh. Okay, I read that. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw nigh with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and good works. You know, if we're not getting together during this time period at the end of the church, how are we to provoke one another unto love and good works? You know, God works through other people. He sends the gospel. We're commanded to preach the gospel. Are we commanded to go out and preach a gospel and run away from the people who are hearing it when they have questions and comments and thoughts and desires to understand this and how does this work out and that? I mean, that's the purpose of this room. That's the purpose of a ministry like Family Radio. That's the purpose of E-Bible Fellowship. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. How do we exhort one another if we're not communicating with one another? And if we're communicating with one another, are we using our own words or God's words? We better be using God's word if we're claiming to exhort one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. So much more now, because the day is approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, which there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and a fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So, we are commanded to assemble ourselves together by the preaching of the gospel. And it is God who is making the assembly. It is God who is, it is his word. We're only messengers. We're just the messenger. We are not the message, and we don't make up the message. We're just the messenger, a vessel of the Lord to declare God's word. And we're commanded to do so, especially when we see the day approaching. Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. That gathering started at the cross. That gathering started at Pentecost. That gospel, that body of Christ has been building. Christ has been building his church from Pentecost. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, the Lord says. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the apostasia first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's where we're at. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And how is he revealed? Because we listen to the gospel he claims to bring. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. And for this cause, yes, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. So we are commanded to bring the gospel. We know that that's what the Bible teaches us. And here, God speaks about salvation coming through the sanctification of the Spirit, through the preaching of the Word of God. Welcome, Jess. Welcome to the Bible Only Room. If you wait till the end of our study here, we'll answer any questions or comments you might have. So you might want to just put your hand down and wait, and we'll call for questions shortly. So we've been taught by the Word, by the Epistle of God, the Epistles of God, the Word of God. And sanctification of the Spirit, that identifies with the preaching of the gospel. You know, to be sanctified is to come under the hearing of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit works when the gospel is being preached, and it is the Holy Spirit that plants the seed into the heart, to the soul, into the individual. It is God who quickens the spirit, who makes them to become born again, who creates in them a new heart, renews them, a new spirit in them. That's what God does. Now, we know we're at a time period when God has called us out, come out of her, my people. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13, we read, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. The just shall come out of trouble. In 2 Corinthians, we read in chapter 6, verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our hearts are enlarged. You know, we ask the question, you know, is Christ divided? We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? And here in 2 Corinthians 6:11, Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. We're declaring a gospel unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, and saith the Lord God Almighty. So, we know we've come to a time. We know that there comes a time when we have to come out of the corporate body. And we know we've come to that time, as we read about in Revelation 18, verse 4, probably the most clearly. And I heard another voice from heaven, where is heaven? Heaven is where Christ is. Where is Christ in this world? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's in the heart of the believer. He's in the body of Christ. I heard a voice come forth out of heaven, out of the body of Christ. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partners of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto the heavens, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill unto her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, because she saith in her heart, I sit the queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God that judgeth her. So we are commanded to come out, but we are commanded to assemble. We're commanded to preach. We're commanded to teach. We're commanded to have fellowship one with another. We're commanded to submit. You know, if we don't submit one to another, or if we're not assembling and we're not looking at the Word of God together, how can we submit? Now, ultimately, we're submitting to the Word. once we realize that the person is bringing a message that we shouldn't be submitting to, well, then we cut that off. We recognize it's not the voice of the Father. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read in verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou art that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." How do you understand what the will of the Lord is? Line upon line, precept upon precept, the mind of God. Genesis to Revelations. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Isn't that what we do on the Lord's Day on Sunday? Isn't that what e-Bible does? Are they to ignore this rule because the corporate church is doing it? I say no. The Bible says no. He commands us, "Speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." You never want to submit yourself to an ungodly man. But when you have something and a problem in a situation, you submit yourselves one to another. You become humble as you look into the Word of God. What should we do? How should we approach it? What should we do? And you wait for the Lord to give you the answer. You know, we have an interesting picture where Jesus was subject unto his parents, and I was looking at this as I was considering what was going on here recently, and I was just struck by the picture here. Here is a picture. Let's look at this. We have a mother and a father, which is Joseph and Mary. You have to wait a few minutes. Joseph and Mary, and here we have Christ being subjected unto them. And spiritually, the spiritual picture here is Christ is representing the body of Christ, bringing forth the truth and the knowledge, but being in subjection to a father and a mother. Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. God is the Father, and he is the example. Christ has given us an example of how he expects his body to be. We are the body of Christ. And it's very interesting that we submit to the body of Christ. We submit to each other, and we are submitted to. It's a back and forth things. We work it out together, looking and trusting in the truth coming forth as we look into the Word of God together. Let's look at the story. Luke chapter 2, verse 42. "And when he was 12 years old," 12, the fullness of the body of Christ is in view. When he was 12 years old, "he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." He went up. Where's the body of Christ? Where's Jerusalem? Up on a mountain. He went up. "And when he had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished by his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And this subjection of Jesus to his parents is an example for the body of Christ to be in subjection to Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all, to be in subjection of our Holy Father, Father, the Father of lights, eternal God. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Hang on 1 minute, I'm just looking back to see if I read this. This sounds so familiar. I don't think I read these verses. It sounds so familiar of what we've been reading, but even if I did read it, I'll read it again, because it's the Word of God. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We don't walk after the corporate, but after the spiritual. "For the law of the Spirit of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit," the mind of God, the mind of Christ, Genesis to Revelations. "For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. The body of Christ is subject to the law of God, and wherever the word is being preached and taught, we become subject to it." So we don't really ever lose the spiritual authority that is above us, but we're always checking it out as Bereans, as we're commanded to do. Seek to receive that word and go your way and diligently seek out to know if these things are true or not by looking into the Word of God. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not of the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Again, submitting Romans chapter 10, verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partner of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God," that's the commandment, "which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind, neither as being lords over them, or over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when Christ, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, the youngers, submit yourself unto the elders. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And that's the key. We're in subject one to another. We're under the spiritual authority of the Word of God, one to another. Sometimes it comes forth out of this one, and sometimes it comes forth out of that one, and sometimes out of another one. It's the Word of God that we're in subjection to. And as long as two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. And as long as we are preaching the true Word of God, we are in subjection to the Word of God. And the moment we recognize that we're not under that hearing, we should immediately remove ourselves. And the moment we realize we are under the subjection of a man, we should immediately remove ourselves. Be ye subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Even out of the mouth of babes we find correction. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to correct those who have gone astray, correct those who are not being obedient to the Word of God, who claim to be part of the body of Christ, those who are not humbling themselves, we're to correct them. And He tells us how we ought to correct them and how we ought to consider ourselves. You know, in Galatians chapter 6, we want to do this humbly. In verse 1, we read, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one as in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So when we come to these disagreements, these things that we don't agree upon, we want to do it humbly. And if someone doesn't do it so humbly, and they want to do it in a different way, and if it's an ungodly way, we want to correct them. And we want to consider ourselves in that correction. We want to do it in meekness. We want to restore them as in one in the spirit of meekness. And this is the way we fulfill the law of God. This is the commandment of God. We're commanded to have the minds of God. And again, this is why we look into the Bible. We want to have the minds of God. And you know, when we do put forth some kind of an authority in this room, and again, the purpose of the authority, if you want to call it an authority, is to keep the world out of it. Period. That's what we cast out. We cast the world out. And whenever anybody brings in filth or anything that is inappropriate, we cast it out. But we want to do that with the same mind also. We want to be careful that we don't red dot or cast out someone for an improper reason. So we want to have the mind of Christ to bring the Word of God, because the Word of God is the mind of Christ. But we also want to acting in the same way. We all want to be humble, and we don't want to be acting inappropriately. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned," or spiritually judged. You know, when men become judged, I've had that said in this room many times, "Who are you to judge me?" When someone says or does something, and I bring up a couple of verses, and they immediately say, "Who are you to judge me?" Well, I didn't judge anyone. I was just sharing a word of God with them. But God, through His word, just judged them. They are spiritually judged. You see, if anyone gets judged by the preaching and teaching of the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept, it is Christ who is doing that. Not the person, not the messenger. It's the Word of God. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Genesis to Revelation. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hereunto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. Even the Lord, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos has watered, but it's God that gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labors. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another built it thereon. But let every man take heed how he built upon it. For other foundation can no man lay but than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So, if there's anyone that sees anything that's inappropriate in this room, that is ungodly, that is not biblical, that needs to be changed, by all means, we have to bring it to light. All things will be brought to the light. And if we find fault with a brother, a particular individual specifically, God has a prescription for that too. If someone is angry with his brother, he's got a prescription. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the body of Christ, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Truly I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And of course we know that that's a bad translation, and let me see if I can recall exactly how it should be read. And I say unto you, whatsoever having been bound in heaven shall be bound in earth, and whatsoever shall be loosed in heaven, having been loosed in heaven, shall be loosed in earth. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of thy Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. There is Christ amongst us. And you know, so when we come together to agree upon something, it's not my mind that I think something and another person's mind that thinks something and we come to the agreement of our minds. No, if we're Christians, we have the mind of Christ. And we're both searching out the mind of Christ in order that we can build upon each other, line upon line, precept upon precept, to know the proper way to act, to know the proper things to do, to make the proper corrections as God tells us through His Word. And we trust that God is bringing and sending His Word through each other. And we know whether that is true by opening our Bibles. That's how we do it. All right. Anyway, that brings us to an end, and I really hope that also brings to an end of all the great mystery that's out there and concerns that a lot of people have. That there is nothing in secret done here, and we know that there is nothing which shall not be made manifest, neither is anything kept secret, but that it shall all come abroad. God will reveal it all, and we know that. And we also know, I can speak for all of the people that work hard to keep this room going, I think I could speak for all of them, we all know that God will deal much more harshly with us if we're phonies, if we are imposters, if we say, "Thus saith the Lord," and the Lord has not said it. And that's why we're always asking the Bereans for corrections, to asking the Bereans to search the Scriptures, to lead us in correction, to show us if there's something wrong. If we're men, we make mistakes. We're mere men, and so we need correction. And when someone that is, especially teachers, if someone is teaching and a correction is necessary, that must be done openly. Because the teaching was done openly, the correction must be done openly. And so correction should be brought on an open mic with anyone who is a teacher that is bringing something or acting ungodly or anything of that nature. It needs to be corrected. And I think I'm thankful to say that we don't have that problem here. You know, we may have had some things in the past, a little thing here or there, but God has been merciful to us. We don't have the teachers of this room haven't been bringing in strange doctrines and the things of men. And so God has been keeping us. And if there's anything that we're doing wrong, we need that correction. And we hope that people will raise their hands and if they don't want to raise their hands, they can send a PM to the person that they want to talk with. They can talk with them privately, and they can talk with them through PMs in a written word, and they can find common grounds, which is Jesus Christ. That's our common grounds. That's where we want to be. We are told and commanded to speak the same things. They should be the Bible. That's what we should be speaking. We should be affectionate one to another, as we learned in Romans today. We should let brotherly love continue, as we read about in Hebrews 13. Let Christ rule, as we read about in Revelation 19. Christ is the bishop of our soul, as we read about in 1 Peter 2. And Christ speaks through the body of Christ. It is Christ himself who is speaking, as we're declaring, line upon line, precept upon precept. He is the good shepherd. He is the pastor of our souls. And we hope and pray that he continues to be the pastor of the Bible Only Room. And with that, I'm going to end this study. And this study was going to be available at the end of the day up on the BibleOnly.net. I'm not too sure. I may put it on the front page because I think it's an important thing we need to be looking at. And I think there are other administrators or teachers in this room that's going to be speaking on the same subject some more today. I think that is true. I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I heard that. And so if they're ready to speak on this, they're going to speak. And we really want to do this God's way and not our way. So please, if anybody has any questions, any comments, any corrections, this is the time. This is the place to do it in. And let's face it openly. If someone's concerned with anything we do here, we need to do it openly. We want to do the right thing. When they expose the error, we're going to want to correct it. So let me get off the mic, and hopefully someone else is going to pick up the mic and share with us, correct us, or lead us. Any questions, any comments, now's the time.